This morning, we'll be looking in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And I do want to pray for this time, so please bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word and all that it is able to do in our lives. And our prayer is always that it will be in our hearts and that it will change our lives. We pray that it would convict, encourage, and produce fruit as you see fit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we'll be looking at Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. I kind of look at Ruth as a story within a story, actually a genealogy within a story within a story. The genealogy is at the very end of Ruth. It gives a short genealogy up through David. It starts out with a story that primarily concerns a woman named Naomi and her family, her immediate family. And then it goes into another story about her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and how God brings Ruth, who is a woman of excellence, to a man named Boaz, who is a man of valor. And at the end, it comes full circle back to Naomi. And so, as we look at Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, there's many things we can learn in this passage, but I want to point out that it brings a model to us for bringing up godly redeemers in the family, in the household. And so we'll begin by reading verse 13. This really sets the context. It says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son." And so the following verses through 17 are all about this son. It says, "Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, 'There is a son born to Naomi,' and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." And so we have this child born to Ruth and Boaz. And beginning in verse 14, women come to Naomi and they start talking with her. They start telling her about her grandchild. We first see these women back in chapter 1. Naomi, as I think all of you know, went to Moab, her husband Elimelech, her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and her all moved to Moab. They lived in Bethlehem, which is the house of bread in Israel. And they traveled to the Jordan River, which was a prominent boundary for Israel. They crossed the river and they went into a country that's tucked on the east side of the Dead Sea. And they went there because there was a famine at the time in Bethlehem. And during their time there, Naomi's husband Elimelech died. And her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, took wives from Moabite women. But they eventually died too. The two sons died. And so Naomi, in chapter 1, we find she's left without a husband, without two sons, and she's got two daughters-in-law with her. And she hears that God has visited his people, or has provided food for his people back home in Bethlehem, and she decides, well, it's time to go back home. Initially, her daughters-in-law both decide to go back with her, and after she discourages them, Orpah, the one daughter-in-law, returns to her family in Moab. But Ruth, as you probably know, insists on going with Naomi back to Bethlehem. And when they return, they're greeted in Bethlehem by these women, probably the same women that we read about in chapter 4. And when they see her, they say, "Is this Naomi?" And you kind of wonder, well, what do they mean by that? But you get clarification on what they mean by how Naomi responds. She's a changed woman, and she's very clear about how she's changed. In chapter 1, verse 20, she says to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" And so this is the circumstances that we leave Naomi for the most part, and the story talks about Ruth and Boaz and how they came together. And when these women return in chapter 4, after the birth of Naomi's grandson, they're not just coming, you know, with the Hallmark card congratulating her on the birth of her grandson and wishing her well and her grandson well. They are, I believe, they're agents of God, that they're working on God's behalf, and they're addressing the issues in Naomi's life. They first tell her, let me find it here. They first tell her in verse 14, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative." And when we see that and know what Naomi has felt in regards to the Lord and what he's been doing in her life, this had to have come as a shock to her. I mean, things are going better now for her. She has food to eat in Bethlehem. Her daughter-in-law has been very good to her. But still, her impression of God's working in her life is that he's afflicted her, and that he's dealt very bitterly with her. And so when they tell her, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative," this had to have been a shock. It had to have been eye-opening. And sometimes I think it needs to be eye-opening for the church as well. We see throughout Scripture where, especially in the book of Isaiah, God over and over tells the people of Israel, "I am your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." And he's trying to get Israel to understand he's their Redeemer. And sometimes maybe we need to hear that as well. Because I think there's a tendency to make church religious, right? And we just go in and out of the motions, but we forget that there's an almighty God who loves us very much, who's caring for us. This close relative, in some of your Bibles, it's probably translated as Redeemer or Kinsman Redeemer. And I think one of those translations is better. When we think of Redeemer, we do think of God. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to. But this isn't exactly what these women are talking about. In the Old Testament, God had made a provision in his law, in the law of Moses, that included kinsmen redeemers, these redeemers. And they were close relatives, but they were people that in your family that you would go to in time of great need. We see in Leviticus 25 where these close relatives, these kinsmen redeemers, would bail family members out of trouble, especially in regards to losing property. If someone became so poor that they had to sell their property off, by the law, these kinsmen redeemers were to go in and buy the property to keep it for the family. We also see them acting as avengers. You'll remember when God set up the cities of refuge for Israel, that he also spoke about the blood avengers, that if someone killed another Israelite, that close family member, that kinsman redeemer, would be the one to bring justice for the family and would go out and kill that person. And so this is a provision of God. And and this is really what these women are talking about. This son that has been born is not a redeemer in the sense of how God is our redeemer or how Jesus is our redeemer. This is a close relative. This is someone that can be relied on for the family. And this is someone that Naomi in the future will be able to go to for help, and who will be a help for her. He will take care of her. But we do have a redeemer today. Some of you have children that at one point in life may help you, you know, in older age, and some of you may not. We're to look to God as our redeemer for all things, for the physical as well as the spiritual. And certainly God takes care of both. And that's our great hope. And I want to impress on you to consider the Lord as our Redeemer. Matthew 20, verse 28, talks about how God came not to be served, but as a servant, and to be a Redeemer for us. And just as Naomi needs a Redeemer in her life, we do too. Not just for the physical, but especially for the spiritual needs that we have. This redeemer, the concept is this person would pay or take on responsibility, right? And the Lord Jesus has done that. He paid for us through his blood, to bring us back into fellowship with God. And this is the greatest need that we have. And so as we look at this Redeemer, and this is a child, right? At this point that the women are talking about this child, this is, you know, can't do anything, right? But I really do believe that in this child we see a model for how we can bring up godly Redeemers in the family. And the question is, well, Why would you want to have godly redeemers in your family? Well, this is a provision of God for his people. It was in the Old Testament. He established it in his law. And we're not under the law. Our land doesn't see these kinsmen redeemers. But when you consider, well, why did God do this in his law? Why did God do this for his people? We understand that God is a redeemer, and he cares about the redemption of people. And those who he calls to himself we're all to be involved in redemption. We're to have a heart for people, for their physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. And so as we look at this and this model for bringing up a godly redeemer in the family, it's important to God, and it ought to be important to us. And the first thing we'll see is that this child that's going to be a godly redeemer, first of all, is elect by God. We see that in verse 14. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, without this kinsman redeemer." This is God's doing. No one can choose to be a godly redeemer. God has to work in their life. And we know from the New Testament, we can't be right with God unless God draws him to himself. It's by God's election. And when we look at our families and we desire to bring up godly redeemers, even within our family, we know that this has to be a work of God. God has got to draw them to himself. He first elects them. And the second thing we find out about this bringing up a godly redeemer is that this child will become known amongst God's people. The women continue on and they say, "And may his name be famous in Israel." I don't know if there's any parent in here or wannabe parent in here who would really choose for their child to be famous. It's not one of the things I hope for my kids necessarily. But when we consider what these women are saying, I think it's key that they say famous in Israel. We saw in chapter 1 where Elimelech moved his family out of Israel, away from God's people. And these women are saying, you know, may he be famous in Israel. And so I think this establishes one of the keys to bringing up a godly redeemer in the family is that they need to be with God's people. God must elect them, but they need to be with the people of God. And I know probably many of us know of possibly many people who claim to be Christians, but they're not with the church. They're not with God's people. They're nowhere to be found on a Sunday morning or any other time that the church gathers. And the idea of famous here, I think, you know, well, what kind of fame are we talking about amongst God's people? I think we see it in the life of this child's parents, in the life of Boaz, and in the life of Ruth. Both Boaz and Ruth were well-known people, right? Because they were godly, because they themselves acted like redeemers. Boaz, for sure, he was the kinsman redeemer for Naomi and Ruth in the story. In chapter 2, verse 1, we see a description of Boaz, the first introduction of him. It says, "There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a great man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz." In Ruth 3, verse 11, Boaz, talking about Ruth, he says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." The scripture uses the same word to describe both Boaz and Ruth. The Hebrew word is the same. They translate it as wealthy for Boaz and virtuous for Ruth. In NASB, you'll see it's excellence for Ruth. This is also the word that you'd find in Proverbs 31 when it talks about an excellent wife or a virtuous wife who can find. It's that idea. Well, these two people were famous. They were famous in their town, at least. The men of Bethlehem said, you know, to Boaz, when he met with them, may you be famous in Bethlehem. And these women who are talking to Naomi are saying, may this child be famous in Israel. May this child be famous amongst your people. And when we consider bringing up godly redeemers, that's part of it. We ought to want to have children who are known by God's people. The third thing, the third part of this model for bringing up godly children is that they become a restorer of life in those around them. And we see that in also in verse 15, the women say, and may he be to you a restorer of life. When you think of children, you can imagine both types of kids. You can imagine the kids that bring life to you, right? And you can also imagine kids that you just don't want to be around. They can be the death of you, it seems. Raising a godly redeemer in the family, this requires a child who brings life around them. And this redeemer for Naomi, this child was going to bring life to her. We see her response in later verses where she takes the child in her lap and nurses him. She becomes a nurse for him. It's no fun being around children who don't know how to behave. And some of the best instruction I think we have for children comes from the book of Proverbs. I just want to share a few verses that I think are in line with this idea of bringing life. Proverbs 23, verse 15 and 16, it says, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Later on in Proverbs 23, in verses 24 and 25, it says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. And these passages picture a child who's on the right track and who is a joy, who brings life to their family. And you can imagine Naomi, when she hears these words from these women, that's what she has in mind. This is going to be a blessing for me. This is going to be life-giving, life-restoring, in a sense. I'll also mention that Proverbs is very clear on how that comes about. And I'll share a few verses in that regard too. In Proverbs 22:15, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. A foolish child, when a child has foolishness bound up in their heart, that is, you want that gone. Because if it's not gone, it's miserable. And it shows you there how you get that out of the child's heart. Proverbs 23:13 and 14, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. A child who's giving life, his soul is rescued from Sheol. And the way you do that is through discipline. In Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. If that foolishness that's bound up in a heart of a child isn't dealt with, and there's only one way that I know to deal with that from Scripture, if you don't use the rod, it's no good. And it'll ultimately be a shame to the mother. It'll be a shame to the grandmother, the father, and everyone else who knows that child and observes it. So we see that bringing up a godly redeemer in the family, first of all, it requires that God elect them. It's a work of God, and we ought to pray to that end for our children. It's bringing up a child who is known by God's people, who is with God's people and is known by God's people. And it's a child who brings life to his family and not grief. The fourth thing we find out is that bringing up a godly child is bringing up a child who sustains those who are weak around him. And we see that as we continue in verse 15. It says, a nourisher of your old age. It's very clear how this son is going to be a redeemer to Naomi. And if we're going to bring up godly redeemers in the family, the children have to be able to bring nourishment to those who are weak around them. We see this really, I think, in an example in the book of Ruth between the two potential kinsmen redeemers. One does not act faithfully, and the other one does. Boaz acts faithfully, but before he's able to take Ruth as his wife, he confronts the closer relative and says, hey, there's property Naomi has. She's got to sell it. And the man's all about buying the property. He wants that property. But he also throws in there, if you buy the property, you also need to take Ruth, the Moabite woman, as your wife and raise up a son for the name of her deceased husband. And at that point, the nearer relative, the closer kinsman redeemer, he says no. He's more interested in his own family and their inheritance. He isn't interested in raising up an heir for someone else's inheritance. And so we see in that man someone who's not faithful. God made this provision in the land for the Israelites, and this guy knows about it. He knows what God's put. He knows about this provision, but he's not willing to do what pleases God. He's not faithful, whereas Boaz is. And if you're going to bring up godly children, godly redeemers in the family, they've got to learn to be faithful. Faithful in what's pleasing to God, to do what God has provided for them to do, and not to be self-serving. Going on, we really see the work of how this comes about in the life of a child. After describing these things, it says, talking about this son, it says, I'm losing my place here, sorry. It says, For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons has borne him. And this is a key to the model for bringing up a godly redeemer in the family. Here the mother has displayed exactly what the son is going to become. The mother has, back in chapter 1, we see how Ruth committed to taking care of Naomi, of being with her, of not leaving her side. And we see throughout the story of Ruth and Boaz how she served Naomi day in and day out by providing for her. And when these women are talking about this son who's going to become Naomi's redeemer, it's consistent with who his mom is. And so when we consider this, it's moms, it's really important. it's really important that you're loving the people of God and that you're serving the people of God, because that will impact your children. Well, we see the provision that God has made for Naomi in this kinsman redeemer, in this redeemer, her grandson. In verse 16, we see how Naomi responds. At one point, she would tell you that God had dealt very bitterly with her. But after hearing this, we see in verse 16 that Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. And this is a great picture, right? This is a multi-generational bringing up a child to be a godly redeemer. Naomi becomes a part of that effort. In verse 17, it's interesting. I think I would, you know, when you consider this, it's like, well, how do you do this? You know, here's, in bringing up a godly redeemer, what, this guy needs to be famous amongst his people. This guy needs to be a restorer of life, a nourishment of those who are weak. How do you do that? And you can take this and you can come up with your own plan, right? You can take your son and you can polish him up, right? So that he presents himself well, he speaks well, and here's someone who can be famous. You can take your son and you can teach him how to be charming so that when he's around mom and dad and grandma and grandpa or around anyone, oh, look at him, right? Such a charming, such a pleasant person to be around with. And when it comes to sustaining, maybe you teach a son how to be wise with his finances so that he can help people financially and get them out of trouble if needed. I think verse 17 kind of clues us in on how you go about bringing up a godly redeemer. Again, these women are here, and it says also the neighbor women gave him a name, which is odd. Why are neighbor women giving this boy a name? Saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. Here's how you bring up a son or a godly redeemer in the family. You don't do it by your own ways, by your own intellect. You do it God's way. You name him Obed. That's what these women did. Obed means servant. And when you consider what this newborn boy was going to be, this will be a great person, right? Why would you name him servant? But the truth of God, the truth is that's who God uses. That's who God uses in his redemptive work. He uses servants. We see that throughout the book of Ruth. We see it in the life of Boaz and Ruth. And we see that that's what needs to happen in this son, who will be a redeemer to his grandmother. So on this Mother's Day, my wish for you mothers is, first of all, that you know that God has not left you without a redeemer. We have a redeemer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whatever issue you have in life, I pray that you all know that God loves you. I pray that you don't go through a period of time where you look at God as someone who is dealing with you very bitterly But I hope that you always remember that God loves you, that he's provided you with a Redeemer. And secondly, I hope that you consider this model of a child who's becoming a godly Redeemer, and the role that his mom made in, or would make in his life, and consider those things. Thank you.